May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the Gospel of John, which we're following this Lent, there are seven sayings of Jesus that begin with the words, I am. The words, I am, are incredibly important, especially coming from the words of Jesus, because the words, I am, first appeared in the Old Testament, when God is talking to Moses, and Moses says, tell me your name. And God says, I am who I am. It's from that I am who I am that we get the word Yahweh, the name of God. I am who I am. God calls himself, I am who I am. So it's not surprising that Jesus, the Son of God, in the Gospel of John, also calls himself, I am. But then Jesus goes into some specifics about who I am is. The collect that we prayed this morning references one of those I am sayings of Jesus. I am the bread of life, the true bread, which gives life to the world, the nourishment, the sustenance, the life-giving food of Jesus. Now, this bread is given to us in many ways spiritually, you know, primarily through our prayers and our meditation, and through our spiritual disciplines and our actions. But it's at the Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples that we get the request from Christ to feed on this bread in the sacrament of Eucharist. Jesus takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples and says, take, eat this bread. My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Over the last 2,000 years, the church has called what Christ did at that Last Supper many things. It's been called the Lord's Supper or the Mass, Communion or Eucharist. Different words, because there are different ways of believing what happens to the bread and the wine during the prayer of consecration. And different people believe different things about what that bread and wine are to them. And that's okay. That's okay. The important thing is that we receive the bread and the wine as sacrament. Because sacraments are to do with God and his children. And God's grace working in and through his children. Through sacrament. Sacraments are not about what we feel when we come away from the altar rail. Sacrament is about God feeding us with Eucharist. After the resurrection of Christ, the early church had Eucharist as its central act of worship. There was not a time when the early church met when they did not share Eucharist. In the Middle Ages, during the European Reformation of the Church, there was a reaction against Eucharist being the primary worship service. And because of the Reformation, Eucharist in the Reformed churches began to be offered once a month, or even once a year. Now you see some of you nodding now because we remember those days. You know, Eucharist was first Sunday of the month. In the churches who protested against the Roman Catholic Church, hence the word Protestant, Eucharist became a kind of reward for those who could prove themselves worthy. You know, even in the English prayer book of 1662, it still has an incredible exhortation of excommunication that had to be read at each service so that those who were deemed unworthy could not share communion. In the mid-1950s, there began something called the liturgical movement. What this did for all the liturgical churches, they rediscovered the early church, particularly how the early church worshipped. We all know that there's not been one liturgical church that has not been untouched in the last 50 years by liturgical change. It was not some new fad that caused this. It wasn't some novel idea that somebody thought this would be a great idea, let's change. What it was an incredibly intellectual and scholarly work that was done on the life and worship of the early church, that once again focused Eucharist as the primary worship of the community of faith. What they found was the life of the early church, the way that they worshipped, and from that worship, how they lived, was so different. The oldest documented Eucharistic prayer is one that's written by a man called Hippolytus. It was written in the 3rd century. That prayer we have in our prayer book. It's Eucharistic Prayer A in the Rite to Service for Eucharist. For the last 4 years in our community of faith, from the Sunday of Easter until Trinity Sunday, we have used Eucharistic Prayer C at all of our services. When the prayer book revision was made in 1979, this Eucharistic prayer was often referred to as the Star Wars service. You know, it talks about galaxies and suns. That's a shame. Because Eucharistic Prayer C is very distinctive. Because what Eucharistic Prayer C does is that it draws together Eucharistic prayers from the early Orthodox Church, the early Coptic Church, and brings them together. The Orthodox and Coptic churches had a lot of congregational response in their Eucharistic prayer, hence all the responses in that Eucharistic prayer. And every single response in Eucharistic Prayer C is biblical. Now, there are several reasons that we use this at St. John's from Easter until Trinity Sunday. First, because it's the Easter season. And unlike all the other choices we have for Eucharistic prayers, in Eucharistic Prayer C, there's a special emphasis on God's creation. There's a little bit of penitence about the fall. And what Eucharistic prayer C does is to remind us of the Old Testament drama of God's continuing effort, time and time again, to draw his people back to himself. That recital of salvation history in Eucharistic prayer C reaches its fulfillment in the proclamation of the incarnation and the atonement. Only in prayer C do we have an almost complete list of the whole company of heaven. It's because of Easter. Because at Easter, through Christ, heaven and earth are joined. And we all cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Prayer C is the only Eucharistic prayer that refers to our baptism. Easter calls us into a life of covenant, of baptismal covenant, that we enter into when we say we have a resurrection faith and want to live as followers of the way of Christ. We use prayer C because prayer C crystallizes all that went before Christ, all that came through Christ, and all that will be because of Christ. Because Easter's about you, and Easter's about me, and Easter's about every single one of God's children. Easter tells us that when we were still far off, God met us in his Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared God's love, gave us God's grace, opened the gate of glory. Therefore, may we, who share Christ's body, live his risen life. We who drink his cup, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in that hope that you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen.